What does the Lord require of us? He has told you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you but to do justice and to love kindness and to walk humbly with your God? Micah chapter 6, verse 8. This week, we have read a lot about how David called for vengeance against the enemies of God and himself. We have also read of God's concern for the oppressed and the needy. In reading these Psalms, Micah 6, 8 is what came to my mind. But first, let's look at this verse in context. This chapter is about God's indictment against Israel for being unfaithful to him. So I'm going to read Micah chapter 6, verses 1 through 8. Hear what the Lord says. Arise, plead your case before the mountains, and let the hills hear your voice. Hear, you mountains, the indictment of the Lord, and you enduring foundations of the earth. For the Lord has an indictment against his people, and he will contend with Israel. O my people, what have I done to you? How have I wearied you? Answer me. For I brought you up from the land of Egypt and redeemed you from the house of slavery. I sent before you Moses, Aaron, and Miriam. O my people, remember what Balak, king of Moab, devised, and what Balaam, the son of Beor, answered him, and what happened from Shittim to Gilgal, that you may know the saving acts of the Lord. With what shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before God on high? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams, with 10,000s of rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? Well, he has told you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you but to do justice and to love kindness and to walk humbly with your God? Micah 6, verses 1 through 8. What do we see in this passage? Well, God has an indictment, a formal charge or accusation against Israel. He lists all that he has done for them. He redeemed them from slavery and he saved them from destruction. But what was Israel's response? They gave him burnt offerings while disregarding the very standards he wanted them to live by. They gave him religious acts, but not their heart, not their obedience, not their lives. God didn't want their burnt offerings when they would not actually do the things he required of them in their lives. So you give him a burnt offering, but you don't obey him? God didn't want that. Well, let's see how this verse would play out if I were to rewrite it for our times. So I'm going to call this the new millennial edition of Micah 6:8. Here it is. The Lord has an accusation against his church. What have you done? Have I burdened you? I brought you up out of your sins and destruction, paid the ransom for you to be freed from the power of the enemy. I paid the penalty for your sin and set you at liberty. I saved your soul from the pit. You are no longer under condemnation because I drank the full cup of my wrath that should have been poured out on you. With what do you come before me? What do you offer me? Do you offer me your religious acts? All your religious righteousness is like a filthy rag. There is no one who is righteous. No, not one. You think your good deeds, your religious acts, your church attendance is what I want? No, I've already told you what I require. I require that you do justice, that you love kindness, and then you walk with me in humility. Wow. I wonder what we think of that. Now, let's look more closely at this verse and study its meaning. What the Lord requires. He has told you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you but to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God? Do justice. To do justice means to accomplish or bring about justice. And justice is rendering to everyone that which is his due. So to do justice means to act or treat justly or fairly. Love kindness. Now we're going to spend a little more time with this section to love kindness. The Hebrew word translated kindness in the ESV, which is the translation I'm quoting from, means goodness, faithfulness, and mercy. And mercy is not giving someone the punishment they deserve. We must not give people the punishment they deserve. Mercy is to extend the compassion as it is to extend compassion as God extended us his compassion in his grace toward us. To extend compassion as God has extended compassion to us through his grace. So if we want God's forgiveness, how can we not extend forgiveness to others? In the Lord's Prayer, we say, "Forgive us in the same way we forgive others." In Matthew 18:33, we see in the parable of the unmerciful servant that the servant who was forgiven much should have forgiven those that owed him little. Oh, I see. The issue is you think you owe God little since you haven't done anything that is really one of those big sins, but others owe you much since they have wronged you greatly. I see. Well, you know what? Your sin towards God is worse than we appreciate. And we're going to see this when we look at David and Saul. God took the kingdom from Saul. Saul would not obey God over the people or over even his own desires. And we see this pattern all the way up to the end of his life. He had a chance to repent, but he always elevated himself and his strength over God. So God took the kingdom from Saul, and he ultimately even removed his presence from Saul. David, on the other hand, was shirking his responsibilities when he should have been out leading as a king. He was lusting after another woman when he already had more wives than God told him to. God already said that the kings were not to multiply wives. Dave multiplied wives, was shirking his responsibility and lusting after yet another woman. He then committed adultery with this woman and betrayed her husband's faithfulness and trustworthiness by having him carry his own death sentence. After betraying and murdering her husband, he took the woman for his pleasure. Now, most of us would say what David did was far worse than anything Saul ever did. Because that's what I would think with my human mind. Like, okay, so Saul, you know, kept some of the spoils from war and he lit a fire on an altar. Okay, but look what David did. I mean, what he did to Uriah, this woman's husband, was terrible. Uriah trusted and was faithful to David. And he used that to betray and murder Uriah. That is really bad. And I think a human perspective, that's what we would think. But God said David was a man after God's own heart. And God holds him up as a hero of faith. Meanwhile, he says he regrets even making Saul king because Saul turned away from obeying him. And we see that in 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 11. What is going on here? Well, David had a heart of repentance. We see in an earlier incident when David had been making previous wrong choices again, when his back was against the wall, what did he do? Did he panic? Did he act in his own strength? No. He turned and said, "And David strengthened himself in the Lord." I love that verse because here's David's making these poor choices. Now he has himself in this hole, but what does he do? He strengthens himself in the Lord. Now Saul, when his back was against the wall and he was making bad choices, continued to rebel against God, to go against his will, to seek witchcraft, to seek his own strength. So the difference is when David wronged God, he repented in sincerity and strengthened himself in God. He did not elevate himself. Saul tried to usurp God's authority in a pattern of disobedience and self-exaltation. This is the original sin of Satan himself. He wanted to be like God and tried to elevate himself instead of God and did not want to be subject to God's rule. But you know what, beloved? We do the same thing. We usurp God's authority in our lives when we are disobedient to him, and we elevate our desire for accomplishment or glory or recognition or just comfort and pleasure or even just protection above our desire for God to be exalted. Let me repeat that. We usurp God's authority in our lives when we are disobedient to Him and elevate our desire for accomplishment, glory, recognition, comfort above our desire for God to be exalted. We want credit for ourselves instead of giving credit to God. This is rebellion against the Almighty, Sovereign, Holy Creator and God of all things. And it is much more serious than our sins against each other. And yet God forgives us. So how much more so must we forgive others and extend loving kindness and mercy? If we don't extend love to others, we don't know God. 1 John chapter 4, 7 and 8. Many of you have memorized this from your youth. Beloved, let us love one another. For love is of God, and everyone that loves is born of God and knows God. He that loves not knows not God, for God is love. So if we don't extend love to others, we don't know God. To walk humbly. What does it mean to walk humbly? To walk means to live life, or it's a manner of life, or it's to go through life. Humble is showing deferential submission or respect. So do we walk through life deferring to God's authority and showing respect for His lordship and submitting to His will? Do we walk through life thinking we're better than other sinners or less holy or less spiritually mature believers? Well, Romans 12:3 reads, "For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned." A non-inspired paraphrase of this, so it's from a different translation that isn't inspired, it's really more of a paraphrase, or as if another human was telling you a summary of what they think that verse means. But it's interesting because it helps you think about that passage a little more. It says, don't think you are better than you really are. Be honest in your evaluation of yourself, measuring yourself by the faith God has given us. Don't think you're better than you are. Be honest in your evaluation of yourself, measuring yourself by the faith God has given us. God has given each of us different measures of faith. Examine your own life and evaluate your own walk. Don't try to think you're better than other believers. Let them work out their own faith with fear and trembling, and you teach, encourage, correct, and edify one another. We should not get puffed up in our talents, abilities, successes, and cultivate a critical spirit towards those who struggle or those who don't walk with the Lord. Jesus wept over Jerusalem. He longed for them to come to Him. It saddened Him that they were lost. How much more so should we weep for those who are lost, long for them to find healing, and to respond to them with loving compassion, coupled with loving truth and loving boundaries? God has redeemed us. God is doing the work making us holier. God is at work in us. It is not anything special in us or anything special we have done. It is a gift of God, so no one has cause to boast of that which is freely given gift to Him. So let us do what God has clearly told us to do. Work to obtain justice for those that can't speak for themselves. Show mercy and loving kindness to those who offend or hurt us. Walk in humble, obedient submission before God and towards others. He has told you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you but to do justice and to love kindness and to walk humbly with your God?